Lord, of these three things we pray, would you help us to see you more clearly, to love you more dearly, to follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen. Please be seated. So, who here was here for our Lessons in Carols service last week? A few people? Okay, a good number of people. And you have a good time, I hope? It was a good service last week? Well, I have bad news for you. The break is over. You now have to listen to sermons again. So to catch us up a little bit on where we were, this is now the third week of Advent. And last week, in the second week of Advent, we were working on preparing and studying that anticipation for Christ to come into the world. And part of how we do that is by looking back in the Scripture and seeing how thousands of years ago people prepared for Christ's inbreaking into the world. And last week we heard as John the Baptist knew Jesus was coming, he knew the Messiah was on the way, and he knew the people of God weren't ready yet. He knew this because he saw lots of good, faithful people of God coming, and they knew they hadn't been loving God as well as they could. They knew they hadn't been loving their neighbors as well as they could. And so they came, and they sought repentance, and they came to the river to be washed clean. And John the Baptist was watching as they would seek repentance and be washed clean and then go right back to living their lives as they had before. And so John the Baptist, this is when he stops them with this whole, you brood of vipers, you remember that? This, you brood of vipers, bear the fruit of repentance. Because you're supposed to come, and when Jesus is here, he's not going to stand for this. He's going to want you to come and to make amends for your sins, to ask forgiveness, but then to go out and live a changed life as a result. And that's a good lesson for us here in the church as well, of course, because we come here on Sunday mornings, and it's a real risk. We come here, we sit down in the, not meaning to point at you deliberately, but come and sit at the pews, and we confess, and we receive absolution, and we take communion with one another, and then there's a real risk that we go back the other 300-plus days of the year and don't live transformed lives as a result. So the thing we need to remind ourselves all the time is when we come here and receive communion and receive absolution for our sins, we're also being formed and prepared for life to come after this, Monday through Saturday. So then we jump a little bit ahead now in time. We're at this week, and we've jumped ahead. John the Baptist is now in prison. And John the Baptist has been imprisoned, but he's heard about Jesus. And he thinks, this guy might be it. This might be the king I've been preparing my people for, the Messiah. And so he goes and he sends some messengers to find out, and they approach Jesus and they say to Jesus, can you give us a sign? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus knows exactly what to tell them because he knows Isaiah, he knows the prophecies. And he knows John the Baptist knows Isaiah as well as anybody. This very reading we read today, talking about when the Messiah comes and the sight will be returned to the blind and hearing to the deaf and the lame will walk. And all these things will be signs. And John the Baptist hears this and he knows this means Jesus is the real deal. This is the Messiah, the one I've been preparing my people for. So he can say in good confidence, go to Jesus, be led by him, learn from him, let him teach you. Because this is a special kind of king. Jesus points out that as a king, he's not going to be one of those kings who sits up in a throne and expects to be pampered. He's a king who has come to teach his people, to teach them how to be the people of God they have the potential to be. And so he takes them, just as we are taken here. All of us have been led here to this church, just as John the Baptist led his people to Jesus. And maybe for you, it was your mom and dad raised you in this church. Maybe it was an Episcopal spouse who guilted you into coming. right? Maybe it was you had this hole in your life and you found this church to be the place that fills it. But whatever it is that led you here, the Holy Spirit led you here. And now you're here in the body of Christ being formed and being taught how to live as God would have us live. The season of Advent is as great a time as any in this season of preparation and anticipation to do the work of looking at our lives and seeing what we can learn about how to love our neighbors better. For those of you who heard my sermon last week about this, I offer the challenge I offer every year, where I look out and I say, okay, this year at Advent, I want you to go home, sit around the kitchen table with your family, with your friends, and talk about what you're going to do this year to love your neighbor better than the year before. And not to just say, like I've done this myself, not to just say, well, I'm going to be more loving this year, because that doesn't really work. You have to actually have more concrete, actionable things you're going to work on this year to be more loving to your neighbor around you. After I said that last week, I had quite a few people came up to me and said, Stephen, you always tell us go love your neighbor, but you never give us practical examples of how to love our neighbor. And you're right, so that's my bad. But what I did is I turned and I asked them, I said, okay, you are being formed here and learning here in the body of Christ every bit as much as me. What do you think would be a great way to love your neighbor this year? And I got some wonderful examples, a wonderful testament to all the ways in which we learn and are formed in this church. One person said something I completely wasn't expecting. And he said, you know, this year, I'm going to stop texting while driving. And so that was my reaction. I chuckled a little bit, but then I thought about this and realized that actually is a very profound way to love your neighbor around you. You know, this is... You know, 8 people die every single day because someone's texting while driving. 8 people died yesterday, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, sisters and brothers. And 8 people don't have to die tomorrow. But this person is saying, this year for Advent, I'm going to start looking at my brothers and sisters in Christ around me, at my fellow children of God, and realizing because of their human dignity, because of what God has called me to, I'm going to value the lives of these other people on the road that I don't even know. I'm going to value them more than I value texting on my phone while I'm driving. And that actually doesn't cost 1 cent. I mean, when people talk about giving and loving, this isn't necessary. It's not about money. It's not about time. This doesn't take any effort at all, but is a profound way to love your neighbor around you. I had a little boy come up to me during the week, and he said, Father Stephen, you know, one thing that happens to me is when people are mean to me or do something to hurt me, I automatically assume the worst of them. And I sometimes even maybe want to hurt them back. And he said, but when I hurt someone, it was an accident, and I know I didn't mean it. And so that just struck me, that here's this little boy thinking one actionable thing he could do this year is to work when he gets hurt by someone, to not automatically assume the worst of them, to not automatically assume there was ill intent, and actually to make an effort towards stopping that cycle of hurt, and to let that be a reminder. Anytime someone in his life hurts him in some way, it's going to be a reminder to him that he can live a changed life as a result. And I just thought, wow, what a smart little boy, right? I never thought of that when I was his age, and he is teaching me. And then one last thing somebody brought to my attention is actually something I need to work on quite a bit, which is when someone is talking to me, to not assume I automatically know what they're going to say and to start forming my own response in my head. And I just stopped listening. And somebody said to me, you know what, this year, starting this Advent, I'm going to make it a conscious effort that when someone is talking to me, I'm going to stop and give them my full attention, and bring them back the human dignity that they deserve as a child of God, to hear them out and then start forming my response, not assuming that whatever it is they've got to say is less important than what I want to say. These are some profound ways in which we can love our neighbors around us. Every bit as important as pledging to the church, every bit as important as doing mission trips and feeding the hungry across the world, because we do these little things as a community of people and we change the world around us. We are turning this place into the church God intends for it to be, where every bit as much as John the Baptist led his people and prepared them to come to Christ so that in before their king, they could learn and be formed to be the kind of people God gives them the potential to be, we here are being led to Christ and finding it a place where we can learn from each other to grow and be formed to be the people God has given us the potential to be. So this Advent season, we have work to do as we roll up our sleeves and together invite people to the body of Christ and learn more all of the time how we can spread the light of Christ throughout the world. In the name of one God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.